Hello and welcome to the Scottish Housing News podcast. I'm Kieran Finlay, the editor of Scottish Housing News, and with me is former Dundee Housing convener and housing campaigner Jimmy Black. We're recording this 1 month after Scottish Housing Day took place to celebrate careers across housing by showcasing the variety of roles and routes into the sector and making the case for housing to be recognised as an important and valued career.
But Scottish Housing Day also served to raise awareness of the need to replace a largely ageing workforce and support the next generation of housing professionals to continue to meet the increased standards and challenges of the future. The housing sector employs tens of thousands of professionals, but there is no sector-wide strategy on recruitment, retention, or talent development, and there are concerns that young people especially are falling through the cracks.
Luckily, we've got a great panel full of ideas on how we can solve this. Joining us via Teams is Colette Anderson, Corporate Services and Innovation Manager at Milnebank Housing Association, Julianne Cloherty, Learning and Development Officer at Share, and Consultant Nicola Dillon. Hi all, Colette, we'll start with you. Could you kind of, I did my best to set the scene there, but tell us why recruiting and training young people is so important for the sector. Are we facing a demographic issue here?
Yeah, there's definitely issues within the social housing sector with an ageing workforce, I would say, particularly surrounding recruitment. So there is a lot of people within the sector who are coming towards the end of their careers. They're quite comfortable with the positions that they are in, so they're not looking to progress further or move away from their existing organisation, which then in turn causes challenges when you are trying to recruit new members of staff into your housing association. And in terms of recruiting younger staff members, I think a lot of the young folk out there, they don't really recognise what housing is or how much opportunities or options there is within the social housing sector. And it's not just a case of allocating a house. There's a lot more career opportunities within the sector that they could build upon and they could develop a career for themselves. So I think we have to take it back to basics, go into the schools and start educating younger people on the social housing sector as a career for life and a career for the future, whereas they can come in, they can get training opportunities, they're nurtured, they're looked after to progress and to grow and to then move into these positions that we are now all recruiting for.
I know you've said that you've having at Milnebank some particular issues with recruiting. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, over the last couple of years, when we have went out to recruit for certain positions within the association, we have struggled to gain interest, and it's mainly due to the sector ageing, I believe. And it could be a case of, like I'd mentioned previously, folk are comfortable in the positions that they are currently in as they reach the end of their career. So the kind of a skill set that we are looking for isn't really coming through because a lot of those people are part of the older generation now. Whereas we need to focus on educating the younger generation, bringing them through the ranks, putting them through the training and development programmes that housing associations offer so that they are in a position to fill these positions when we are recruiting.
Nicola, how do you see things?
At the moment, I'm working across a lot of sectors, and I think at the moment it is currently a war for talent because every sector is struggling to recruit, not just young people, to recruit anybody.
Yeah.
But that in itself makes it a buyer's market for young people because I think no longer can associations put a job description out and hope for the best because young people will choose organisations that fulfil their needs. But I think why I'm so passionate about the housing sector is because it offers so much and it offers so much that is aligned to the needs of young people and what they're actually looking for. And again, as Colette had mentioned, it's that visibility and getting that visibility out there because it's such a fantastic sector. There's defined career paths, there's amazing employee benefits, really competitive salary, a really strong social purpose and really fulfilling work. I think that, you know, where young people can really make a difference in the communities that they work in and live in. And I know that hybrid working, again, really important thing for young people. It's all about their life-work balance. So that's another great attraction tool, which I know that a lot of associations have embraced. And when I'm looking at kind of across the sectors, the four kind of top things that young people look for are hybrid working, flexible working, career development with a nurturing mentor, an organisation with a strong social purpose, and job security. All of these things Housing associations can offer all of these, which for me, it's such an attractive sector. But yes, certainly, and also adding to what Colette had mentioned and the ageing workforce, I think we've started to see a lot of movement in the last couple of years with chief execs and senior leaders retiring, which is starting to create a wee bit of movement where you can backfill through apprentices, graduates, graduate apprentices to future-proof the organisation, and also through strong succession planning as well. I think you're able to upskill your existing workforce. Colette being very one of these young people as well. You've progressed through so many departments, Colette, to get to where you are now.
Yeah.
Julianne, we've heard about the varied roles within housing there. Do you think this is something that young people know about?
No, and I think that's probably the biggest problem. I think it's the visibility. You speak to most housing professionals, and it's not that they've known about this career since they were in school or necessarily college or university or whatever it might be. They seem to have happened to have found their way into housing. And it is, I think, as Colette touched upon, that visibility about letting, you know, young people know that there's a career out there. And we work with a lot of modern apprentices at Share. I'm an assessor for modern apprentices. So we're working with school leavers and the very young housing professionals. And it's looking at those pathways that we can get people into housing, and it's getting better. But, you know, a couple of years ago, a lot of the entry-level jobs did require a bit of housing experience, and that's a little bit of a vicious circle, because how can you get housing experience if you can't get your foot in the door? So it's looking at how we feed in from those very, you know, starter positions. How do we make them as accessible as possible for the widest range of people, and make sure that we have visibility? And I think it's something that the whole sector needs to work on together. And I know the Housing Education Group is working on that just now, but it's about getting into schools, graduate fairs, you know, really getting that visibility, because it has so much to offer as a sector. And I think it's a little bit of a best kept secret at the moment.
Can I just pick up on that point that you've made about getting started? Because I had a wee look at how you get into a housing course at a college or at a university. Now, most of them, and there weren't all that many courses, most of them seem to require you to have CIH level 2 already, or to be working in housing already. It's just that there seem to be barriers in the way of just simply doing what you do with lots of other professions and say, right, I'll go to college and study that, and then I can be that. So what can we do to try and make the college courses and the university courses a bit more accessible?
So it was just to say, to answer your question, that response, I think that's to echo what Julianne said. It's really important to bring young folk in from a modern apprentice and gradually put them through a training programme, because housing associations are huge supporters of growing your own and making sure that young people within their organisation receive the adequate training. They fund college courses, they fund university courses, they fund the courses that Share offer, which are accredited too, which helps promote growth within the organisation. And I am an example of that. My housing association have funded every single part of my career where I've been able to develop, and they funded all my college and university courses, even a master's degree, which I am so, so grateful for. And that's allowed me to progress through the organisation, and without having the experience at the same time as the training and the knowledge and the development, it would have been very hard to get into a housing association, like you said. But being able to do the job at the same time, as well as train and study and get a qualification, that's been a massive help in terms of career development. So I think when we are communicating that to young folk, it's important to put that message across as well.
I want to ask another question about how young people perceive the housing profession. And I've got some ideas. We'll start with this one. Is housing social work? Anyone want to comment? Does it fit into social work anywhere?
I don't think any of the young people that I work with would see it that way. I think working within housing has become much more complex. I think, you know, the remit of housing officers is getting wider and wider. You know, as other services are pulling back, we're expected to take a lot more on. But I don't think that the young people I'm working with see it as sort of akin to social work. I think they're always I don't know whether it's shocked or pleasantly surprised by how wide a remit housing has once they get into the career, once they get into the day-to-day work and they realise what people are bringing to them, bringing to the office. But I don't think they necessarily see it as that. I think, you know, the young people that we're working with, you see them being really appreciative of like a really supportive environment. You know, all the organisations that we work with that have AMAs are really so supportive of these young people. They're really invested in their futures. They're trying their best to see a path forward for them in their own organisations, despite the fact that they might be really small associations.
Okay, Julianne, but that's not the point I'm trying to address, because it's a matter of getting people into the profession and what their perception of it is. You know, how do you get them interested? So, and I've got other categories. Social work was just one. Do people see it as business or as charity work? Do they see it as an administration job, or do they see it as building or technical? I mean, if you were to ask the young people that you meet and you work with, and Colette, yourself, when you were kind of thinking about a career, what did you think about housing? What did you think it was?
If you were to ask me really early on in my career, when I started in Milne Bank when I was 17. So if you were to ask me what housing was all those years ago, I would tell you it's about giving a tenant a house, whereas now it's so much more than that. So there is a lot more different career opportunities in housing other than just allocating a house. So now I do see it as, like Julianne had said, we are the organisation that's responsible for a lot within the communities, and our communities do rely on us to help them. And like you said, it could be viewed as kind of a part of a social work service because of the needs that you have to provide to your tenants, the needs that you need to meet for your tenants, and the services that you have to deliver in order to meet those needs. But housing is a lot more than bricks and mortar.
Nicola, have you got any thoughts here?
I think the only thing that I would add is I think a lot of young people in education just don't have a clue what housing associations do. I think that's the biggest challenge, because I don't actually work in a housing association. I'm just obviously hearing the feedback, because personally I think it's a fantastic sector, so I'm continually getting that message right there. But personally I don't, because my son used to work in the housing association, he had no idea, and I've just been on about it so much, he went, that sounds like a good career.
There's research that shows that, now I say there's research, actually I asked through artificial intelligence in Microsoft Bing this morning, you know, what sort of career is housing, and ask some questions. What do young people particularly want to be when they grow up? And the answers were lawyer, doctor, veterinarian, I can't remember the other two. Working in housing, does it have the same kind of status as being a lawyer or a council worker, a shop manager, a police officer, a computer programmer? Where does housing fit into the kind of panoply of desirable jobs?
I mean, if I can come in on that one, because we were writing about this recently out for Scottish Housing Day, you know, when you compare it to the vet, the doctor, the police officer, they're all seen as very much, you know, the pillars of society. But when you think about it, providing housing, when you look at the outcomes that are related to housing, wellbeing outcomes, poverty outcomes, it's as much a pillar of society as any of those other jobs, as far as I'm concerned. And I just think part of the problem is we don't have the profile. You know, people are not necessarily aware of it. And I think sometimes in the social housing sector, we're really good at working away quite quietly when we should be much more vocal about what we're doing.
And do young people have any idea of how well housing is paid? I mean, is it seen as well paid and secure?
Because I'm obviously working across various sectors. That's why I think it's such a good sector to work in, because I think compared to other sectors, it's very well paid. That's just my perception with doing a comparison.
Okay, we'll stick with perceptions here, but let's switch it to the young people themselves. Let's do some perhaps negative perceptions of young people, in that they're not as hardworking as some people, they maybe don't like to get their hands dirty. Could you dispel those myths by telling us what specific positives that young people can actually bring to the sector?
Oh, what positives young people can bring? I think that nowadays, I think the younger generations are fearless, so they, in terms of having a voice. So I think channeling that voice positively, they can really make a difference, because you can learn so much from young people, and they like to, you know, that they've grown up in that social media driven world where they're used to having a voice. They want to make an immediate impact, so they can actually bring that, being completely fearless, which I think is a really good trait. And to have to be able to speak up and provide feedback that can be acted on.
Young people are really clued up on social media, so they can help digitally transform an association and help modernise the way they work.
Digital champions, I think that's a really good point, Colette.
And I know, Nicola, you're keen to showcase that, because there's young people working in the sector already, so how can we use them to show the positives of the sector?
I think utilising your existing young people who obviously love their jobs, I think they could be developed to be education ambassadors, and they could be, you know, selling the range of job roles in the sector and selling their own career success stories, like Colette, but also getting into education early enough before young people choose their subject choices, so that they can educate them on the subjects to choose that would align with career paths in a housing association. But also, I think when young people go along to education events, it's not about standing there, it's about engaging them, having something to hook them in. So using something like interactive survey, with like Kahoot, where you can be asking young people on a survey, or like, what do you want from a job? What interests you in a job? What do you want a job to look like? What's the best method to attract you? What sort of skills you want to develop? And you can start to gamify things, which I really think hooks that interest. You can take job profiles and then have skills and do some sort of matching game. So it can be really, really good fun. And I think, I mean, there's so many other ways, like employer visits, young people being a guest speaker at schools, developing some sort of rotational work job rotation programme for work experience. And I think associations that have got a trades department, you can have a taster programme for trades. And also, I think just the final thing to add there was the foundation apprenticeships, that very much a lot of these foundation apprenticeships, which you study in school, can be aligned to some of the departments in a housing association, like IT, like construction, business skills, accountancy, not specifically housing, but a lot of the foundation apprenticeships do align. So I think there's so many ways to attract young people and engage them.
Julianne?
I think for the young people that we have already in the sector, it's about bringing them together and making those connections. You know, and obviously it's been a tough couple of years with COVID and a lot of things were online for a long time. We had a lot of young people that started in the sector when it was, you know, everybody was at home and they haven't had that same introduction to networking. So I think now getting back out is really good for the young people in the sector, and that's why we're looking to get our network up and running, to give young people, young housing professionals, a place to sort of network and see what's happening in other organisations. Because if you are in a particularly small organisation, you may be the only person in your particular age demographic there, so it's getting out and meeting your peers and seeing what's going on in other places. So that's why we're really keen to provide that space.
So Julianne, can you just tell us a bit more about what the Young Housing Professionals Network is?
So it grew out of, you know, we were reflecting on Scottish Housing Day this year and careers in housing, and particularly the work that we do with modern apprentices, and realising that there isn't really a space for young housing professionals to network. And I remember when I was at uni in particular, it was the young lawyers, they had a really vibrant network that prepared the young lawyers while they were still at uni for things that they would encountered in the workplace. And you know, it was a really lively network. So it was thinking about that and thinking about, you know, we don't even have something that's in situ, never mind beforehand preparing people. So we're looking to get this off the ground. We have our first event in November. It's anybody with less than 10 years experience in housing, so it's not attached to any age bracket. It's just about people that are new to the sector, just giving them that space to meet up with other people that are relatively new to the sector as well. You know, we may be looking at having some mentoring. We've got a couple of, you know, senior leaders that have expressed interest in doing that joined up working, and just working on those things that are, you know, important at the start of your career, and giving them those sort of contacts, those networks. You know, we have a couple of networks already here this year that are really lively, people sharing information across the country. So it would be good to have that space for the young professionals as well.
Colette, is this something like a good idea and something you may have taken part in when you started?
Oh, absolutely, definitely. It's an excellent idea, and I've always been very supportive of Shell's networks. Like Julianne says, they're great. I'm part of the HR and corporate services network within Shell, and it's excellent for sharing resources across the sector and kind of bouncing ideas off of other people. But in terms of the young housing professionals, when I was much younger, I would have really appreciated that because it's like you can speak about other people, speak to other people and see how their career's progressing and what opportunities they've been presented with. And it learns you from a young age the importance of networking. So yeah, absolutely, it's an excellent idea. It's one that I'm very supportive of.
And Julianne, I understand that Share are also looking for people to input with their own experience, perhaps experienced people in the sector to share their insights.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of some of the groundwork that we put in. And to be honest, we were quite overwhelmed with the response. We went out to a lot of the sort of senior officers and said, look, this is something that we're thinking might be useful. What's your thoughts on it? Would you be willing to give, your time or, your premises or any sort of input to it? And really so many came back to us to say, this is a really great idea. I'd be happy to give up my time. I'd be interested in mentoring. By all means, come to our office. So, it made us feel like we've obviously struck a chord with it. So it's great to see like the leaders in the sector seeing that they want to support us, fill in this gap, and they want to be able to do that and help the young people in the profession, because it is all about that succession planning. So yeah, that was a really great response, and hopefully it comes to fruition with quite a lively network.
Modern apprenticeships is a new development in the sector. I know that the association that I'm involved with has had some modern apprenticeships. Is that something that can be expanded, and can anyone tell us a bit more about what they are and how they work?
Well, we support the modern apprenticeship programs here at Share, and essentially organizations will come to us and say that they're thinking about hiring a modern apprentice, and they can get part funded through Skills Development Scotland. And the young person will come into the organization, the organization will recruit them, come into the organization for either 12 or 24 months, and they will go through a period of training with Share during that. So they will be, working 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, whatever the hours are in your organization. But at the same time, they'll be getting like day release to do the CIH. It's called SEQF Level 5 now, but it would be known as Level 2, and also an SVQ in housing. So some introductory qualifications that just kind of underpin that on the job learning for them. And we've been supporting this now for a number of years, and we have a great deal of interest in them. Really, after the pandemic, more and more people looking at it as a way to recruit, so much so that we've kind of got a waiting list, because we are full for the moment in terms of our contract with Skills Development Scotland. So, I think more and more people are turning to it as a way to recruit the very young, and it's a really good way to give people an introduction to the sector, and to be looking at those entry-level jobs that we were talking about earlier.
So that's something for employers to be aware of, and presumably you'd be very keen to tell them more about it. What about the Investors in Young People framework? Can anyone tell us a bit about that and what it means and what it's for?
I'll happily answer that. So the Investors in Young People framework, it's a good practice framework to support organisations to attract, recruit, and develop and retain their younger people in the workplace. So the organisations can be assessed against the framework, and be awarded an accreditation, whether that's at the standard level, silver, gold, or platinum. And the latest framework was written solely from the voice of young people and stakeholders, and what really stood out as being like a fantastic organisation to lead and develop young people in the workplace. And through that feedback, there's lots of new key features which cover things like fair work practices, where young people have, an effective voice, respect, fulfilling work, fair opportunity and job security. Meta skills so that young people can develop timeless skills to support the ever-changing world of work. A culture of psychological safety, where young people feel safe to speak up about anything. Reverse mentoring, where young people can, well, basically influencers can learn from young people. Community engagement, mental health and financial well-being, career mentoring, generational harmony, success measures. And basically, supporting young people that may face barriers to work. So there's so much in that in the new framework. And an assessment is an evaluation of current practice confidentially from the voice of young people and influencers. But the main value that comes from an investors and young people assessment is the recommendations to support continuous improvement, but also be part of a network of employers where you can share good practice and learn from each other. So that's really a wee summary of the investors and young people accreditation.
So there's things out there that housing associations who are looking to employ young people can use, the Young Housing Professionals Network, Investors and Young People Framework. But, and Colette, you've talked about being a bigger presence in schools and kind of targeting young people earlier on. Is there anything else that Milnbank has done or are about to do to increase the potential career paths for young people?
Yeah, we've over the last 10 to 12 years, we've offered work experience and we have reached out to, we've secured work experience for over 154 young people over the last 10 to 12 year period. And that's given young people the opportunity to progress a career into housing or actually get the right skills that they require to work in the workplace. So like Nicola had touched on earlier, like offering work experience with our trades team to allow them to go and progress into a modern apprenticeship as a joiner or a plumber, etc. So we have also reached out to the schools in terms of presentations and open days, and we've also held mock interviews with young people as well, just to get them into the, when they, if they go and apply for jobs, they know what's expected of them in terms of an interview. And when we go to the schools to deliver the presentations on housing in particular, or what career is as such, it's kind of getting them ready for their life in the workplace.
And Julianne, have you heard of other best practice that have been carried out by housing associations?
I think a lot of associations are really starting to turn to the modern apprentices, but also to the work experience that's not perhaps, you know, such a long-term commitment, if you like, you know, like Colette said about giving people different types of experience, but also making the links within their communities. I think housing associations, certainly when I used to work in an association, you know, we would make the links within the communities as well with the contractors about looking to help the young people in our communities, perhaps not even necessarily to remain in housing, but also just that employability. So it's making the links up with that in our community regeneration work as well. I think a lot of associations are starting to join the dots between all of them.
I hate to say it, but all of us here, even Colette, are quite old compared to some of the target group, if you like, the 16, 17 year olds who are setting out to try and decide what kind of career that they might have in the future. Are we getting to young people through the communication methods that they use? And I'm told that there's no point in using Facebook, that even Instagram is getting a bit too old for people, and TikTok's the place to be now. Are we using these media to get to people and say, well, look, here's a 15-second clip which shows something that would really be quite inspiring to do as a job in your future career?
Just to jump in there, there has been a number of associations that have developed Fair Work Practice videos to showcase from the voice of young people how young people have gotten a voice in the workplace through working groups, how they've got fulfilling work and they can make an impact in the community, how they've got a fair opportunity to progress and how they've got job security. And these 2-minute videos from the voice of young people have been really impactful, and they're shared as part of recruitment adverts as well. So you can actually see how good it is and the types of jobs. So I think some organisations, especially housing associations, are doing that, and it's working really well. They're also doing social media campaigns, like asking young people, what would you like from the workplace? You know, what's the best methods to attract you? And using that to enhance their attraction strategies.
My final question is kind of along the lines. We've talked a lot about the varied careers within housing, the great job perks, to put it bluntly. How should housing market itself and the jobs going forward to stand out from the competitors? What would have been the buzzwords that would have attracted you to a role?
I think to make themselves more attractive, the social housing sector could speak about the training opportunities that they offer to young people, the career paths that are available to young people, and the support and nurturing that's out there, and the difference that these young people can make in the community to lives of other people, and the fact that it's job security. And like Nicola touched on earlier, it's really well-paid jobs as well, and I think a lot of young people would like to hear that. But definitely the training opportunities that are available and the career path that's there, and it's a career for life. It's not just, working in housing isn't just a job, it's so much more than that. It's definitely a career, and it's a long-term career.
I think Colette has summed that up excellently, so we'll leave it there. My thanks to Colette Anderson from Milnebank Housing Association, Julianne Cloherty from Chair and Consultant Nicola Dillon. I'm Kieran Finlay. My thanks again to Jimmy Black, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thank you.